Welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. Here are your hosts, Brooks and Drew.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how you doing?
Couldn't be better. Terrific scene at Burgess Snow, Saturday morning. Coach Kelly gets his first win. Zach State gets a huge win against Liberty, 34-24. We'll talk about the game here as we go. But the biggest note is Coach Kelly gets win number one after a long, long career coaching college football. No one deserves it more than he does. So start off the show, you know, congratulations to Coach Kelly for getting win number one of hopefully a lot more here at Jack State. Brooks, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, like you said, just the biggest takeaway. Coach Kelly gets his first win under his belt as a not only as a Jack State head coach, but as a head coach in general. I thought it was a great atmosphere. I thought the crowd was really good. Yeah. I was a little afraid that, you know, after we had the weather delay, that was going to scare off a bunch of people. But for the most part, just about everybody that was in the stadium came back. It kind of helped. It was before halftime, and band aid was there, so we had tons of band kids there to do the performance at halftime. But even after then, there was a like I said, it was a great crowd. I was very impressed. Great home atmosphere and a great first win. Starting off 1-0 in the conference against, you know, the team that was picked to win it.
Yep.
We'll go ahead and start deep diving into it. We're going to give all our thoughts on the Liberty win, then we're going to give our thoughts on the rest of the conference, because there were some interesting scores. Yesterday was just such a weird day for college football overall, and Conference USA was no exception. Drew, if you want to get us kicked off here, yeah, with Liberty.
Yeah, to start with, like we said last week after the loss to UCF, that teams tend to make their biggest jump in play from week one to week two. And I think you saw a lot of that from Jack State, especially from the offensive side of the football. They ran for 343 total yards. That was the story of the game for JSU's offense, was being able to run the ball like they did. And, man, Cam Cook looks like that guy. 29 carries, 195 yards, and two touchdowns. He broke I don't know how many tackles. You lost count there after a while, but he really, really played the way that we know that he can, and like a player that can win offensive player of the year in this conference. He was the catalyst of the offense. Wimsatt ran it 10 times for 78. Andrew Paul added 8 for 67. Each of those guys got a touchdown as well. Don't know about Paul's health. Well, I guess we'll learn about that later on in the week. Just as far as what his health will look like. I know he left early fourth quarter, I want to say, after a good run down close to the goal line, like maybe a knee injury there. So we'll learn more about that through the week. But the biggest takeaway is the offense moved the ball really, really well. I know the passing still has ways to go. Wimsatt was 6 for 12 for 52, and that's something that will get better as the year goes. I'm not going to start screaming for a quarterback change yet. I don't think we're there. We just had a huge win, like Brooks said, over the team that was picked to win the conference. And one of these days, they're going to stop picking Liberty to win the conference, because they did not look the part last year, and they have played two games. You know, last week they played Maine and looked underwhelming. And you know, you look at the scoreboard, Jack State 34, Liberty 24, and might think that it was Jack State seemed to be in control of the game the entire time. There were some plays in the fourth quarter that Jack State's defense just kind of like fell asleep, and it kept Liberty in it. There was a long touchdown run, then a long pass. So those things, as far as like, this was not a perfect game for JSU by any stretch of the imagination. As good as we thought the offense played, there were mistakes that they made. There were certainly some mistakes the defense made. Liberty had a ton of total yards on offense. Part of that was due, they always had seemed to have a really long field to work with. Their kick returner should be fired from his job. I don't know if that's a special teams coach thing, but I mean, call a fair catch at some point. I mean, it was three times that Donaghy kicked the ball into the corner, and he chose to bring it out, and they tackled him before he got to the 15. I think all three times it was bizarre to see. You know, one time you understand, but you know, two more times after that was kind of bizarre. you know, Liberty kick returning. It's like they never had good field position. Cade Backe had a couple of good punts that pinned him as well. So you look at the yardage disparity and might think Liberty outplayed Jackson. That's really not true. It's just they had a long field to work with, it seemed like, the entire game. So good on the kick coverage for that. That's a part of the game you won't see in the box score that really does make a huge difference. So kind of a shout out there. But yeah, Cam Cook was the story. Like we said, he broke I don't know how many tackles. They had a hard time bringing him down. He's very, very patient in the backfield. Like if you watch him run, he'll take the handoff and he'll just bide his time till he finds a hole that he wants to shoot. And sometimes may end up a no gain, but a lot of times that's what allows him to break the big runs that he has. And then defensively, you know, broad strokes purposes, they played well. They gave up the two big plays in the fourth quarter to Liberty. Evan Dickens had a long touchdown run of 52 yards in the fourth quarter. And then I believe it was Julian Gray who caught the long touchdown pass for Liberty, or maybe Dante Lee caught the long touchdown pass for Liberty. So those two things late in the game can't happen. We go to Statesboro next week. If it's a close game and two more things like that happen, we may not win the game. So that's something that I'm sure will be fixed in practice, because those are the two biggest takeaways. Right, the defense played really well aside from really just those two plays. There was another long play in the first half for Liberty, but those two plays in the fourth quarter kind of inexcusable. When you have the game almost put away and you let Liberty, go on, back-to-back, 1 minute touchdown drives is not something you can do and expect to win in conference throughout the year. So that's the biggest takeaway from the defense. Miles Butler accounted for two turnovers. Thought it was two interceptions for a while, but they turned over the first one. They called it a fumble recovery. Isaac Walker had the sack there. And then Ethan Vasco just threw Miles Butler the ball after that. So good day for Miles Butler. Emmanuel had two sacks, which is really good, a sack and a half, which is really good to see. He was a game wrecker and stayed in the backfield running Vasco all around the pocket for the entire game. So the front seven played really well. Just those big plays in the back end of the defense. Like I said, it's not a perfect game for JSU. Those big plays in the back end need to be shored up for future weeks. The offense looked good. And like I said, the offense looked good. It was not a perfect game. In that first half, Jack State got the ball at midfield a couple times and didn't really do much with it. And that can come back to bite you also. When you're getting the ball at midfield already up 7-0 with a chance to really go in and control the game, you need to be able to execute. And we didn't see that in the first half. And it seemed like as the game went on, they just leaned on Liberty until their defense was just exhausted and tired of tackling Cam Cook and Andrew Paul. Wimsatt, one more thing there before I turn it back over to Brooks. Wimsatt did keep a lot more of the read options this week. And that's something that we kind of pointed to from that UCF game, was that if he kept more of those read options, that I thought the offense would be more successful, because I think UCF is kind of keyed in on, all right, Cam Cook's going to get 90% of these. Wimsatt ran it 10 times for 78 yards, was able to keep Liberty honest there, where they had to worry about both guys in the backfield. So good there. The Caden Creel package, we saw it for, I think one drive. It wasn't real successful. A couple plays. So not real successful this week. I'm sure that's something, like Coach Kelly said in the press conference last week, that is part of the offense. So we'll see it going forward. It's just this wasn't the week for it. Good news is Jackson was able to control the game regardless. The offense seemed to make a big leap. And I know that competition helps too. Like UCF is by no means a powerhouse in the Big 12. That's still a Power 4 team. And Liberty, of course, is not an in-conference opponent. So, good to see. This is the level of competition that Jackson's going to have all year. And they seem to move the ball really well against that level of competition. So, I'm more than excited for what the year is going to have ahead. I think this is a team that can certainly go compete and win another conference championship. Western looked extremely beatable this week. We'll talk about that in a minute. So Jack State, to me, is the front runner at this point. Western, Toledo may be really good. I know that people are really high on them in the MAC this year. So Jack State and Western could certainly be those two teams again. But right now, Jack State, through 2 weeks, I think has looked really good and should be the front runner to repeat as conference champion, at least at this point in the season.
So my biggest takeaways, the biggest thing I was looking for with this game was improvement. Obviously, we didn't have much of a choice that, we had to improve off of UCF. Otherwise, you're going to start off 0-1 in conference play and put the conference favorite really in the driver's seat to make it back to the, or make it, yeah, make it back to the championship game that they missed out on a year ago. And I really think that we did. I thought that we improved in a lot of the areas that we needed to. There are still some things that there are still some road bumps that we need to continue to improve on. Downfield passing was a big one. A lot of which we really didn't with the running game that we had yesterday. We really didn't have to air the ball out downfield. But you know, still, I think we are going to reach a point where at some point during the season where we need to get bigger chunks of the field knocked out. And you know, we just didn't really show it yesterday. You know, I thought Wimsatt had a much better game. I said on our preview show that the biggest thing I wanted to see from him was to be more patient in the passing attack and let the play develop before he takes off and run. He's a talented runner. I think his arm looked better this week. And two, you know, there was a couple times DeAndre Johnson, I know, had three drop passes, so that didn't help anything, or didn't necessarily help his case. But like I said, I thought he was more patient. Even when he had to scramble, he wasn't immediately, you know, looking to sprint upfield. He was looking for those open receivers, gave them time to get open. You know, didn't really spread the ball out a ton. We only had five receivers record catches.
Only completed six passes.
Yeah, and only completed six passes. You know, the only one with multiple catches was Caleb Coombs. I was a lot more. I feel more comfortable at least with Wimsatt running things. Like you said, Drew. You know, keeping the read options a lot more. There was a couple times that he got the defense to bite on the fake, and just it was off to the races from there. I was very impressed by that. Obviously, he had the one rushing touchdown, and I thought too we responded well. You know, giving up those two drives, giving up those back to back drives where we went up to the scores and then. Liberty peeled off, you know, 75-yard runs or you know, quick scores in less than a minute, and then having to know or knowing that we had to turn around and score, and in the process towards the end of the game, eating up a lot of that clock, especially that last drive. That was by far the best drive we've had in two games. Taking those chunk plays, but at the same time working off, you know, 6 minutes of the clock. So overall, very impressed. Wimsatt was better. DeAndre Johnson needs to be better if he's going to be. It looks like he's going to be the key receiver that Wimsatt or whoever's a quarterback really likes. I would like to get Rex Steiner more involved because I do think he's a great talent. He's big, strong, fast, and a lot of the times he just wasn't there yesterday. Running backs look phenomenal. Whatever we did to get Cam Cook to Jacksonville State. We are getting our money's worth, absolutely. The guy is just absolutely phenomenal. And I, like you said, I think he's a early front runner to be him and maybe McIver. See how he progresses throughout the year. Early front runner to be offensive player of the year for the conference. So overall, pretty satisfied for the offensive side of the ball. There were a couple times that I was kind of like, what are we doing? With you know, we got a one of those times.
Yeah, interesting drive midway through the first half. Midway through the second quarter, be right after the rain delay, or maybe right before the rain delay. But they just handed off at the middle three times.
Yeah,
and like was the drive.
Where, that's where I was going.
It's kind of weird. Like, you know, it looked like we saw against UCF, and then after that, it seemed like they seemed to open up the playbook more, and then that was when DeAndre Johnson had his big 24-yard catch, and yeah, he had a couple drops, but at the same time, like, he was open one time and Wimsatt threw the ball at his feet.
Yeah.
He's 6'8". He's not going to catch a lot of balls at his feet. It's just not going to happen. So, you know, he needs the same from Wimsatt needs from him. You know, when you throw him a one-on-one ball, you know, he needs to come down with half of those. or maybe more at that size. And that's where he's going to really help out the offense. We haven't really seen that yet with one-on-one balls. He had one knocked away against Central Florida and here, you know, one or two there against Liberty. So he'll improve with the rest of the team. Yeah. But Brooks, like you said, you know, those drives where it's three straight runs and back to the bench need to be very, very few and far between. And I do think Coach Rickett did a great job as the game went on of opening up the playbook. We saw a little more play action. A lot of more, like I said, read options where Wimsatt kept the ball. I know he ran it less times against Liberty than he did. He ran it 13 times against Central Florida, but it seemed like his runs here against Liberty were a little more scripted and seemed to obviously result in more yardage, which was good. And those read option plays, as close to 50-50 as the defense will allow you to make those, the more on the toes it'll keep the defense as far as having to worry about both guys, the quarterback and the running back, running the football. So good to see that. Coach Trickett and the offense did a great job as the game went on, like we said. And, yeah, those last couple drives, like Brooks said, after Liberty scored quick to kind of get themselves back in the game in the fourth quarter, going on those back-to-back touchdown drives, I mean, that was very, very impressive for me because I was – you know, they got up, 24-10, let Liberty score quick, and we're like, okay, you know, still early fourth quarter, 24-10, you know, or 24-17 was still a football game. And there was no more three and outs after that. The offense did what they needed to do, moved the ball on the field very, very well. There was a really nice substitution penalty from Liberty that helped that out there on the last touchdown drive. So that was much appreciated as well, but the offense converted when they needed to. They put up 34 points. I thought, you know, I didn't think this offense scored 34 points till middle of the season, you know, maybe at some points against UCF with how it looked. But they seem to make, you know, improvements, you know, leaps and bounds ahead of last week. So that is certainly really, really good to see.
Yeah, for sure. And real quick, I'm about to touch on the defense, but you mentioned those two drives. We got those stops, those two drives where we just handed off up the middle three times and then punted. That, you know, the day our defense was having yesterday, we could rely on them, but it's another one. We didn't play great pass coverage, I didn't think.
I didn't either.
And, you know, being able, you know, Vasco didn't have a great day. I think if we were to do that against, you know, Western, if they progress like the way I think they're going to, I know they lost yesterday, but they progress the way that I think they're going to, and Maverick McIver continues to just blow up and down the field, he's going to take advantage of that every time. As much as they like to, you know, as much as they like to air it out and him have, you know, 400 passing yards a game, that changes up your, I think that's going to force you to change up your offensive strategy a little bit. But, I think we were a little bit, with those two particular drives, we were a little bit too comfortable having to rely on the defense. But again, defense, I thought, played a solid game. I thought played a very solid game, minus the pass coverage. Pass coverage needs to improve, no doubt. I thought we, and I thought this in the UCF game, I thought we played off the receivers a little bit too soft. So I think we're going to have to tighten up that. And then the free safeties are going to have to be a little bit more aware. But the difference in the game was turnovers. We won by, for the most part, Liberty led us in every statistic except for rushing, total offense and passing yards. And even then, the rushing was fairly close. I want to think it was only a 100-yard difference. But the difference in the game, we won by two scores and we got two turnovers. That was the difference in the game, absolutely. And, you know, credit to Miles Butler for, you know, being the difference in the pass coverage. You know, the first one was a fumble recovery, but he was in the perfect spot. he was in the perfect spot to get his first interception of the year. And we probably should have had, there was a dropped interception early in the third quarter, too, that we should have had. So could have had three. But overall, I thought the defense responded very well, still giving up a little bit too many, chunk plays than what I'm comfortable with. Gave up a couple. No, there was one play. It looked like it was UCF all over again. We got them to 3rd and 15 or so. Gave Vasco all the time in the world to sit in the pocket and then take off and pick up the first down. And then of course the big that one long running play to score a touchdown. in the fourth quarter, and then long passing plays too. We're gonna have to cut that out. Like I said, and I'm not trying to. I keep saying Western Kentucky. I'm not trying to look forward to the end of the season already, but I know that's one team that is gonna watch our film and really take advantage of it if we don't. You know, I told you several times, McIver's gonna have a field day if we don't tighten up between now and then. But luckily, season doesn't end next week. We're not playing Western for a while, so we've got a lot of time to improve that. There was a couple names that I was really impressed with. Obviously, Emmanuel Obadejo was the big one.
He was just a problem the entire game. Was. You know, you look at sack and a half, and that's really good on its own. But you know, pressure's not really tracked in the Jackson Liberty game, at least from what ESPN has, but. You know, his pressured number would have been a lot higher than that 1.5, and that's the number that really matters. You know, you're not always gonna get to the quarterback and bring him down before he throws it away and get credit for your work you put in rushing the passer. So that sack number being at 1.5, you know, the pressured number for him may have been 4, 5, 6. Who knows? Because you know he was in the backfield. It seemed a lot, which was
just about had a strip sack in the fourth quarter too. So obviously very impressed with him. Juan Campbell was in the backfield the whole game. Who else?
Taylor
Carter was a force. Floyd.
Yeah, Tay Floyd came in late and got a sack on what was Liberty's last drive, which was really good to see. That was he you kind of could tell he was really fresh coming in, and the Liberty offensive line had about had it by that point, and he just went right through him and didn't have, you know, really much of any resistance to getting to Vasco there. That was pretty much the nail in the coffin on Liberty's final drive.
But two names that I was really impressed with, Thaxton Gallagher and Caleb Nix. Thaxton Gallagher, big, strong linebacker. He was all over the field. And he was another one. He stayed in Vasco's office a good bit of the day. I was very impressed by him. Where, you know, I thought Jacob Cruz was going to take that spot and kind of, you know, be the name to look for in the linebacker room. But Thaxton Gallagher, fantastic. And if I'm correct, he had a pretty good game against UCF last week too. Yeah. But Caleb Nix, we knew he was going to have to come in and start for Trevor Woods in the first half following the targeting suspension. And again, I was very impressed. I thought he made a lot of, he's a really good tackler. He's fast. He was another one that was all over the field. He's another, you know, I said earlier the safeties are going to have to be a little bit more aware. He's no exception. But I was very impressed with him. Made some really good special teams tackles on kickoffs.
Liberty made it easy to do that.
They did. When I kept telling Drew at the game, when is the special teams coach going to tell the guy he's putting it in the same spot every time?
He's trying to
just
get
fair
in the
catch
corner.
It. Yeah. Just fair catch it, and we'll take the ball at 25. That blew my mind.
Which is why the yardage disparity was so big, at least part of it. And Liberty moved the ball fine for a lot of the game. It had some big plays that helped him get over that 500-yard mark. But I mean, they had a, you know, 85-plus drive every time because they were either, you know, punt would pin him back deep or they were going to try to bring a kick out from the corner of the end zone. And we tackled them there on the 12 or 15, wherever it was, and they had that much field to work with. Jack State had the ball at midfield the entire first half. So that helps the yardage disparity out also. You know, like I said earlier, they see a lot of things that, you know, Liberty outplayed Jack State. I don't think that's true at all.
I don't think so at all.
I didn't get that. Liberty made a lot of mistakes. They turned it over twice. Jack State didn't turn it over at all. And Jack State kept their offense with a short field to score. Like we said in the first half, they didn't always convert those short field opportunities, and we would like to see them at least get three out of that. Like with and by the way, Garrison Ripa, 50-yarder that hit the back and like top back of the net. It would have been good from 60. Like when you've got a kicker that has that kind of range, you know, when you start with the ball at midfield, you've got to get like 15 yards to get him in range. That really needs to happen every time. You know, things are going to happen, this and that. But, you know, there were those couple drives in the first half where they get the ball around midfield and don't get any points out of it, a little bit frustrating. And like we said, throughout the year in conference play, there are going to be tough games. I know Liberty was picked to win the conference, and that's great. But, you know, they get Western. Kennesaw looks to be a little bit more improved. We'll kind of see what they look like. You know, Missouri, we don't play Missouri State, but, you know, Delaware can be tough. Like, there are games in this conference that can give Jack State trouble, of course, and not converting those short field opportunities on offense into at least 3 points, if not seven, mm-hmm. can come back to bite you late in the football game.
Quick shout out to the special teams. I thought they had a great game. Awesome. Garrison Ripa's leg has grown tremendously in size. Like Drew said, just blasted it from 50.
Yeah, it didn't even look real.
No, you don't see SEC kickers usually have something like that. Ripa can absolutely be a weapon now. I told Drew if we can just get the ball to about the 40, I think that unlocks a completely different strategy if, you know, we're really in a crunch for points. Backy looked good punting the ball. There was one, and punt coverage was really good. There was one punt, I think it was his first one.
The first one was a little bit weak.
It looked like a knuckleball and then gave up a chunk return. But overall, special teams was, I thought, fantastic. Kickoffs had the one free kick out of bounds, but other than that, special teams was phenomenal. So to wrap it up on Liberty, like I said, biggest thing, Coach Kelly got his first conference win, and that was huge in putting us in the driver's seat in the conference. Mm-hmm. If we can hold on against Liberty, I don't think there's another team in the conference. We'll see what Delaware does. Obviously, we got Western at the end of the season. I think I'm still pretty high on FIU.
Yep.
I'm still pretty high on them. That might be a trap game on the road. But, you know, this is a good start, absolutely a fantastic start, something to build off of. And who knows, we may see Liberty if they can improve. I think it's going to ultimately depend on Vasco. I said on our conference preview show with Offseason After Dark, I trust Liberty. I trust Jamie Chadwell. I think he's a phenomenal coach. I just don't know how much I trust Ethan Vasco. He made some questionable decisions. He looked a little shaky at times. There were some drives that I thought he responded well and was able to move the ball downfield. He's got a strong arm. And for the most part, he's pretty smart in the pocket, but it's just, you know, against these better defenses, how well is he going to protect the ball? He had the slow start last week against Maine, but then eventually took over the game, in the fourth quarter. So there's sparks of them here and there. So, you know, maybe, like I said, maybe we'll see them again, but I think it's ultimately going to depend on, because that defense isn't bad either. It was not a bad defense at all. We just pounded and grounded them, for 90% of the game, and warm out. And some other teams are going to look at that and try and take advantage. But like I said, overall, fantastic first victory for Coach Kelly, and off to a great start in the Charles Kelly era. We'll move on to
Stars of the Game.
Stars of the Game.
You want to do Stars of the Game?
You need to do Stars of the Game. Glad you said that.
We didn't do it last week. We don't do them if they win. We don't give out participation trophies. But we do have Stars of the Game, first win of the year. Hopefully we'll do this 10 more times in the regular season, but we'll see how that goes. Fan star on Twitter, pretty easy, Cam Cook. It was always going to be Cam Cook. He was the star of the game. There is not another correct answer with how well he played. When you rush it for 195 yards, that is going to be your star of the game every single time. Other than that, me and Brooks Leach do our star. And those two guys we put on there, Miles Butler and Emmanuel Badejo, it doesn't matter which one of those guys we pick. I'm assuming we're both going with one of those two. Those two deserve it just as much. Miles Butler, like I said, who accounted for both turnovers. Isaac Walker got the strip sack that Miles Butler recovered, and then Miles had the interception there on Liberty's next drive. So big plays there that, like I said, may have been the difference in the game in the long run. Emmanuel Abdeo with a sack and a half. Like we said earlier, we don't know how many pressures that he would have been credited with if that was a stat that kind of got tracked like it needs to be. But those two guys deserve the stars just as much. We could kind of go on Garrison Ripa with a big kick. The entire kick coverage team, I think, needs a lot of credit. Like you said, they pinned Liberty back deep several times in this game, although that was more Liberty's issue than like, we got to go out there and make the play, but we were kicking the ball where we wanted to. You expect them to fair catch that ball and whatever. Yeah, Liberty kind of make it easy for us, but they still deserve a lot of credit for that. But all around, really, really nice football game. Brooks, let you talk just for a minute about the stars of the game, but I don't think there's too much debate on the three guys we want to highlight.
No, there's not. Those three were, you know, ultimately the difference makers in the game. I do want to, I know those are our three stars, but I'll give an honorable mention. And give kind of a half a star, I guess, to Gavin Wimsatt. And I know his passing numbers didn't look great. 6-12, 52 yards. That's not going to, you know, just thoroughly impress anybody. But I thought just the sheer improvement that he made from game one to game two was night and day. I thought, like I said, I thought he was way more comfortable when he did have to throw the ball. There was a pass or two here or there that was off, and it was just not in a great spot for the receiver. But and again, the three drops didn't help his case. But I thought he was smarter with the ball. I thought he let the play develop. He wasn't trigger happy to take off running down the field on pass plays. Running the ball, again, he's a very talented runner, and we need to use his legs to the fullest extent that we can. But I just thought that the biggest thing I wanted to see from this game was improvement. Take the things that we did wrong against UCF and improve upon them against Liberty. And I thought Gavin Wimsatt passed with flying colors. I was very impressed. I'm a lot more comfortable going into Georgia Southern with Gavin Wimsatt as our quarterback. And that could change. You know, this is going to be another tough road environment. But I was very impressed with Wimsatt. I think we're going to be all right with him. I'm going to give him half a star, I guess. But with that, we'll jump into conference scores. There, like I said, yesterday was just such a weird day for college football with bigger schools playing against smaller schools. Obviously, Clemson struggled with Troy. Georgia struggled with Austin Peay.
It's very possible Austin Peay is just really good.
That's also true.
You beat Middle by 20 in week one, and then they played with Georgia for all four quarters.
FIU got off to a really good didn't score any points, but got off to a pretty good start on the road against the number 2 team in the country in Penn State. It was 10-0 at halftime. Kennesaw was playing close early with Indiana. Middle led most of the first half, I believe, against Wisconsin, and it's something that nobody expected. I know a lot of these teams ended up running away with it, but and then the big one, you know, the big ones in the conference, at least, you know, Missouri State getting their first FBS win.
Congratulations.
Against Marshall. And then Toledo just kind of embarrassing Western Kentucky, but, you know, just far and away better, I thought. Louisiana Tech, one that's, you know, a lot of people are kind of picking as their sleeper in the conference, played really good with LSU, who was coming off may have still been, you know, feeling that high, coming off a big win on the road at Clemson and coming back home. Everybody's excited and, you know, kind of forgot, hey, we got to play a football game. So just a weird day all around. And Conference USA, no exception. Some other scores. New Mexico State gets their first win of the year against Tulsa. UTEP took care of business against UT Martin, former OVC foe. And Sam Houston.
Still struggling.
And they got to play Texas next week. They ain't winning that one. So 0-4 going into conference play. Woof.
Tough, make a bowl game 0-4.
I don't know what the deal was with Hunter Watson. He did not play.
Yeah, that game started at midnight Central Time. I did not stay up to watch it. I had every intention of at least having it on television, but I fell asleep long before that. Long day in Burgess snow yesterday with the rain delay and all that. I was exhausted. But yeah, we'll look more into the Hunter Watson, see why he didn't play there as we go. Yeah, biggest thing for me, congratulations, Missouri State. We know how cool that is to get your first wins in FBS team. Shame it wasn't at home. They were on the road against Marshall. So it'd been nice if that was a home game. I think that was probably the coolest thing about Jack State's was we had to do that at home, which was neat. And that was a conference game for JSU. But Missouri State on the road against Marshall. I know Marshall lost a lot to Southern Miss, who Jack State will see here in a couple weeks. But still, really, really nice win for Missouri State. They're getting a 1-1 on the year. Jacob Clark threw the ball for a ton of yards, 300 and give me a second, 359 of them and three touchdowns. So Jacob Clark seems like, you know, the real deal back there from Missouri State. So that was really good to see out of him. And then, yeah, like you said, Western Kentucky, just Toledo just seemed better all around. I know Toledo, people are really high on them in the MAC this year, and that's good. But they played Toledo, we lost by 8 to Kentucky last week in week one. But, 45-21, Rockets get the win. I know that was a home-and-home series. Western beat Toledo last year in Bowling Green for that game pretty well. But Toledo led the entire game. It was 21-7 after the first quarter, and they never looked back. At one point, it was 45-7. Western added two touchdowns late to make it look better than it actually was. But, you know, Western had all kind of issues with both offensively and defensively there against Toledo. It was an all-around whooping for Toledo. So that's something to look at. You know, we thought Western, after those first two games they played, was going to be, you know, the class, the conference, the team that JSU had to beat to win the conference. And that may not be true. You know, Western looked human. You know, McIver was 23-38 for 235, two touchdowns and an interception. That's certainly not a bad day by any stretch, but if you're throwing the ball 38 times, you would like to see more than 235 yards. I think that's what, 6.2 per pass there. So not where you want it to be. They did not run the ball well at all. I mean, the Western run game was useless. As a team, 28 carries for 59 yards. That is 2.1 per carry as a team. That is not going to win a lot of football games. I know that they're pass heavy and pass first, but I mean, 2.1 per rush is not any good. And Toledo, like we said, was kind of the opposite of that. They ran it for 307 against Western. So I think that bodes well for JSU. It seems like the Western run defense really struggled against Toledo. They ran it for over 7 yards per carry as a team. So that's something JSU can look at and really try to exploit in that matchup last week of the year. And that could be a matchup to send a team to the conference title game. That could, you know, like last year, it kind of determined home field advantage. You know, there's a lot of things could come from that. So that's going to be a very important last game of the year for Jack State. And it seems like, you know, Jack State may match up well against Liberty or against Western Kentucky with what Toledo did to him. And then the last thing I'll highlight, LSU 23, Louisiana Tech 7. The Louisiana Tech defense looks really good. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, the offense didn't do much, and that's fine. But, you know, when you're giving up 23 points to LSU, who just came off a big win against Clemson, that is something to really put in your pocket and look forward to if you're a Bulldog fan. I think that La Tech can make noise in this conference if their offense can score enough to help out their really good defense.
Yeah, so definitely going to be an interesting year in the conference. There's teams that, you know, are from so far from what we can tell from 2 weeks, you know, once we get into the heat of conference play, we'll know a lot more about these squads. But, you know, so far there's some teams that we expected to be improved or better, you know, better at least, that just aren't. Middle being one of them, at least we think. And then there's a few that, you know, that are taking that, you know, taking a little bit of a next step, Louisiana Tech being one of them. We'll see about Kennesaw. The jury's still kind of out on them. Look good against Wake Forest last week, but Wake Forest is just hot dog water. Got off to a good start against Indiana, and just, you know, the difference in talent. Once
second quarter clicked over Indiana, yeah, it seemed to impose their will, and it looked like what you would expect it to look like. So, Kennesaw certainly improved from last year, but
yeah,
I don't think that's a team that Jack State should have any issue with here in a few weeks.
Nah, I don't think so. They still got a ways to go. but overall, you know, it's going to be an interesting year for the conference. There's a lot on it. The biggest surprise to me, I think, so far is Sam Houston.
Biggest surprise to you, but I'd like to think I saw this coming.
Fair enough.
I just don't believe in Phil Longo, and he's had success plays, and he was very good at Sam Houston his first stint there, but he just doesn't inspire a lot of confidence in me. I don't really know why. And first of all, that schedule for Sam Houston is ridiculously difficult.
Is.
Like, whoever thought this was a good idea to put as a schedule, like, man, rethink what you're doing. I mean, because they start out with, you know, conference play against Western. They can't control that, right?
Yeah.
That week zero matchup was scheduled for them. You're going to go down to Bowling Green and play that game, you know, and they played pretty well, especially there to start the second half when they actually took the lead against Western.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, you've got UNLV. They're a good team with Dan Mullen now for sure. And then on the road against Hawaii week three makes no sense for anybody to do. I just don't understand that. And then, you know, the Texas is a money game kind of thing. So they are going to be 0-4. And then they'll finally get a road game there in Las Cruces against New Mexico State before we go to Houston to play the Bearcats. So I think there's a bye week in between there as well. But Sam Houston, certainly not overly impressed with yet. They are 0-3, staring 0-4 in the face. And we'll have to finish the year, 6-2 just to make a bowl game. That's going to be tough for a team that had as much turnover as Sam Houston had.
Yeah. The biggest question, or the biggest thing to come out of that game, Hunter Watson did not play. It was Mabry Matar. I think that's how you say his last name, and Landon Lockie, that ran it, that was at the helm. So we don't know. I tried trying to find some stuff on Hunter Watson. I could not find anything. I don't know if he's hurt. I'm going to assume he's hurt. Maybe it's that same knee problem that he had last year. You hate that for a kid. I think Hunter Watson has the potential to be a really good quarterback. We saw it in the first half of the season last year. And then when he got hurt against Western too, and came back. He just wasn't the same. Through three games already, he hasn't been the same kind of quarterback that we thought he was going to be at the start of last season or after the start of last season. So you hate it for him from that standpoint. Try and figure it, because that game is coming up in a few weeks. We'll try and figure out a little bit more about Hunter Watson. Just a weird day for college football and the conferences, no exception. It's going to be an interesting year for Conference USA. We've got this much going on, and we're only 2 weeks in. We still got 10 games left to play. So it'll be really interesting to see how everything unfolds. Who does take that next step? Is there a sneaky team that could make the conference championship? Upset Western or us or whoever it may be. We'll just have to see. A lot of football left to be played, and can't wait for next week to get here. But that being said, we'll put a wrap on week two. Take what we need from the Liberty game and build on it. Correct the things that need to be corrected and improve on the things that we did well. And I think I got full confidence in Coach Kelly and the staff to do just that. We'll go on the road next week to Georgia Southern, who got beat, what was it, like 43-20, something like that, against USC yesterday.
No, that was a much, much wider spread. I think USC put up 60-something.
Yeah.
We'll get into that. That was the Clay Helton Bowl. He's Georgia Southern head coach these days, so we'll see 59-20. So we'll see Mr. Helton next week. We'll get into all that stuff later on in the week on the Wednesday or Thursday episode, depending on what our work schedules look like. But we are going to Statesboro, so we'll see you guys down there that go. We'll take plenty of pictures and videos and kind of have a little video story for you guys as we go down there to Statesboro. We're excited to make that trip, and that's a game that Jack State should go down there and win, we think. Mm-hmm. If this team has aspirations to go win conference championships and bowl games and that kind of thing, you need to beat middle of the road Sun Belt teams, and that is what Georgia Southern is. So we'll get into that stuff as we get on with the week. But taking time to enjoy the Liberty victory, that was really, I think, settles the nerves for a lot of people of what this team is going to be. Huge congratulations to Coach Kelly for getting his first win as a head coach and doing it against a very quality opponent at home in front of a great crowd. You couldn't ask for a better time for it to come. So we'll wrap it up here, and we'll see you guys here in a few days with Georgia Southern news, and we'll see you guys in Statesboro at the end of the week.
Deal.